Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6, hear now the word of the Lord. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And then we're also looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 24. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. And he will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. One of the things that helps an expectant mother endure all of the changes that happen to her body and all of the discomforts and pains of pregnancy is looking forward to that day of holding that new life in her arms one day. In the midst of the signs of pregnancy and all the birth pains of labor and the need for much patience with herself and others during this time, a mother-to-be looks forward to a day when all of that kind of struggle and discomfort will be over and there will be joy and new life. And when the baby comes, there's rejoicing. People are excited, they're elated, they're overjoyed. They tell everyone they know, and maybe they send out cards and text messages and emails and make phone calls so that others can come and rejoice with them. Now, I was married a few years before we had our first child, which was a good thing because I learned a few things before we had a child. And one of the things I learned is that if you were personally the one to receive the message that somebody had a baby, there were some follow-up questions you're supposed to ask after that. So if you're the one who is passing out that information, you best not just say, so-and-so had a baby today, and then leave it at that. Oh, no. I've learned. There's a myriad of questions that follow that statement that I did not know as a younger person. Well, what's the name? What's the weight? What's the length? What color are the eyes? What color was the outfit she was wearing? Right? What about that blood pressure issue? All sorts of questions. I'm doing pretty good just to get a name and maybe a weight these, But all sorts of questions come after that statement. So-and-so had a baby today, right? But even so, when you make such an announcement, others want to join in with your joy. They join in to rejoice with you. Now, over the last couple of weeks of Advent, we've been looking at places in the Bible that talk about Jesus coming again, his second coming, his second Advent. And as we wait for Jesus to return, we're told to expect some birth pains, groaning, struggling, suffering, some pain until he comes. We're expecting a tribulation right now that we're going through, and not just far off into the future. And we're reminded that that day of the Lord, which will include a final judgment and the destruction of the ungodly and the wicked in the world, will come. But we also looked at those verses in the Bible that talk about God's patience toward us. As we struggle, as we suffer, as we learn, as we grow, as we go through this sanctification process of God in our lives, God is patient with us. And God is patient for his people to hear the gospel message and to respond with repentance and in faith. That's one reason why the world goes on as it has been for a long time. But in the meantime, even as we wait for Jesus to return, we can expect joy in the journey too. We can expect joy in the journey too. What to expect when you're expecting? Expect joy. So first this morning, there's joy in knowing that there is a final judgment versus this ongoing, repeated cycle of things or cycle of life over and over again. There is joy in knowing that there is a final judgment, that Jesus will come back and make all things right again. Unfortunately, over time, though, there have been many believers who have been afraid of the return of Jesus. The thought of a final reckoning of all things strikes a chord of fear among the faithful for some reason. But they should be saying, along with Isaiah in chapter 12, verse 2, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." So there's joy and there's assurance of salvation when we have repented of our sins and have trusted in the Lord Jesus over our lives, confessing his name, believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So a final judgment and a reckoning of all things is what we look forward to and can expect when Jesus returns. In a flash of lightning, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, when the armies of the earth are all gathered together for that major battle of Revelation, then what? There really is no battle. Have you read that before? There really is no battle that happens. The Lord sends down fire from heaven and the threat is eliminated immediately, Revelation 20, verse 9. It's over. Jesus ushers in the new heaven and new earth, and there's no more mourning or crying or pain, Revelation 21. God's kingdom comes on earth in fullness, just as it is in heaven, like the faithful have been praying in the Lord's Prayer for so many years. There's joy in knowing that Jesus is coming back again to make all things right, and justice and righteousness are coming with him. But it says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly like the labor pains of a pregnant woman. They will not escape, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. We don't know the times or dates of Christ's return, it says. It will happen suddenly like a thief in the night. In many places of the Bible, we're encouraged to wait and to watch and to be ready because the return is going to come, and it's going to come suddenly. And everyone will be impacted. It'll be a global event. There will be a final judgment, a final sorting out of things on the last day. Remember the sheep and the goats Jesus talked about? Jesus is coming to make all things right again. And for the Christian, there's joy in knowing that. There's joy in knowing that. Secondly, there's joy in living into our calling as God's people. There's joy in living into our calling as God's people today. Isaiah says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." As you walk through the desert, as you live in the desert, there's joy when you're able to pull up a bucket of water from a deep well. When water is scarce, you're filled with joy when you find it because it means life. It means you get to live. It means health. And similarly, when there is joy when you draw life-giving spiritual water, from God's own Son who came to give us life, give us eternal life, and life to the full. With joy, we remain in Him. With joy, we look to Christ. With joy, we are sustained in our struggles as we draw on Christ for our needs. Indeed, believers ought not to be afraid when their salvation comes from God in Christ. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:4 that you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. God's people do not have the times or dates of His return, but we do have the expectation that He will, the hope of the day of the Lord and Christ's return. So it should not come as a total surprise. God's people are not in the dark about this subject completely, as some are. And according to Paul in his letter, they ought to be living like they ought not to be living like they belong to the darkness today, blindly groping around for the next thing to give them a momentary pleasure or high or an escape from reality. He says, let's not be like others who are asleep in their drunkenness, in their delusions. Instead, he calls believers to be sober, maintain faith, love, and hope as a kind of protective armor that they put on. God's people are people of the day who live into their calling as God's people. They choose to live like God's people, how they should live, in a way that's fitting for a follower of Jesus. In verse 9 it says, for God did not appoint you to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, He died on the cross for us so that whether we are awake, that is alive, or whether we are asleep, that is dead, that we may live together with Him. You see, as believers live in to their calling, their appointment to eternal life, they experience the joy in the journey, in the waiting, and even during the tribulation of our times today. For we have been appointed to eternal life already, right now. You are appointed, called to eternal life. And we're told to encourage and build each other up with this kind of hopeful and joyful expectation of Christ's return and our secure place in the kingdom of God. Even now, as we make distinctions between light and darkness, good and evil, and choose to live in the light, there's joy in knowing that in life and in death we belong to Christ, our faithful Savior. Amen. Far from being a dour and boring existence as a Christian, the child of the life lives a life of hope, a life of joy, of knowing who they are, whose they are, and where they're going when they die. There's joy in living into our calling as God's people. Even now, even today, there's joy in the journey. And finally, we rejoice in the hope of Christ's return. We rejoice in the hope of Christ's return. You see, expectation and waiting for something isn't always fraught with anxiety and fear and struggle. Of course, there are times when we're waiting or expecting something to happen where we feel a sense of joy and hope and even peace. As we think about Christmas Day approaching, or as we think about a birthday coming up, especially young people, they look forward to that day when they can make, when others make a big deal about them. And they get to eat a lot of good food and celebrate with friends and family. There can be rejoicing even as we wait, even as we hope and look forward to something that will come in the future. And you know what? The more certain we are that that thing is coming, the more rejoicing we can do now. The more rejoicing we can do now as we wait. You see, the joy, joy, joy deep down in the depths of our hearts longs to be expressed somehow. It was never meant to remain deep, deep down in the depths of our hearts. Some people have asked me, why do we sing so much in church? And why do we sing so many songs in our church? And others have said, well, you just give me a sermon, that'd be good for me. And some people don't even show up until sermon time. That's all I need is just a sermon, Pastor. What's all this singing about? What's all this liturgy and things like that and prayers? What's all that? And I thought, well, how sad. How sad if our worship is only one-dimensional like that. Because our worship is not just an educational endeavor. It's not just a lecture. A hymn sing is not just, I mean, it's more than a hymn sing, too. Prayers, songs, liturgy, responsive readings, a children's program, scripture and sermon all work together to give our worship a three-dimensional, multidimensional quality. Both the head and the heart, the eyes and the taste buds and the hands and the feet are all engaged. In Isaiah 12, 4-6, it says, "In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name." That's a very active, verbal thing. Proclaim his name. "Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord," verse 5, "for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world." Verse 6, "Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One among you." Sing for joy. If you need a command, there it is. We're commanded to sing for joy. The Bible tells us, as followers of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, to sing our praise, sing it out. Why sing so much? Why praise God's name and retell his wonderful works, such as the incarnation of the Son of God in the manger, over and over again every year? Well, because that joy of salvation, that's deep, deep down in the depths of our hearts, can't help but become bubbling up and bursting forth sometimes. Yeah. It's not just about obeying a command or a rule. It's a real thing that we experience. That joy of the Lord, the love of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. And that joy comes bubbling up, bursting forth. And it comes out in our praise and our thanksgiving and our song as we sing together. And when we do it together, something wonderful happens too. I was just telling someone this morning that sometimes when I'm having a bad Sunday morning, maybe I'll be quiet during a song, and I just listen, and I let the rest of the congregation kind of lift me up as I hear the body of Christ singing those powerful, wonderful hymns. Rejoice always, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't quench the Spirit. All in the context, all in the expectation that Jesus is coming again. And we wait in eager expectation of that second coming. As we wait, we live into who we already are as the people of God. That is, we do what godly people ought to do, even right now. Knowing that we are God's people and being certain of that, we let our joy be known and our praises be heard for the world to hear. For the world to hear. For Jesus shall return one day. He said so himself. The one who calls you is faithful. Praise be to God in the highest heavens. Let us pray. God of justice and mercy, we approach your throne only through the blood of Jesus today. But we do approach boldly because Christ died for us and for his church. We thank you for your great love for us as demonstrated through the suffering and the death of Jesus on our behalf. And this week, O Lord, help us to number our days aright. Help us to remember eternal things. And may we have a good and proper perspective on life and the trials we endure and the priorities that we keep in this life. Keep us watchful and alert for your second coming, and free us to give bold expression to the joy that we have. Help us to rejoice this Christmas. And through it all, may you receive all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. Amen.